Sports Takeover 95.3 The Bull. Powered by Window World of Rockford. State Farm Agent Brian Pinkstaff. LDR Cleaning and Restoration. Eldridge Roofing. Honest Pest Control. Gruner Electric. Paymaster Pawn and Jewelers. Iconic Energy. J&D Countryside Marathon. Woody Buick GMC. Cherry Valley Feed and Supply. Expert Electronics. Gustafson's Furniture and Mattress. And 95.3 The Bull.
It is a Veterans Day Takeover, devoting the entire day to veterans from the state line, giving them an opportunity to tell their stories and grab some airtime. And quite a few of them have talked us into playing some of their favorite tunes as well. I've been looking forward to this chat. I've always loved every opportunity to, whether that's ride in a truck around town and just chat, or you know, our time on the phone together. Scott Chasm, how are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Good. What a great opportunity for us to reconnect. You know, your time in the service obviously has shaped who you are, probably on every aspect of your life. Hopefully I'm not putting words in your mouth there. But your commitment to veterans and those that have had a previous life like your own continues to this day.
It does. You know, Gordon, it's not about the amount of time we serve, whether it's, you know, 2 months or 20 years. It's about taking care of those who have served even well beyond their years. You know, I mean, we've got so many veterans in the Northern Illinois state line area that really it's reaching out to them and letting them know that folks are still here for them and they deserve it.
Right. And that's what we're doing here today. So let's go back. You, man, it's funny. Everything I know about you is your time in the Navy. So proud of your time in the Navy. Let's go back to the beginning. When did you enlist, and what were the years that you spent?
Well, I was born and raised in Dixon, Illinois. I joined the Navy in 1989, and I retired in 2010.
So, I mean, truthfully, not even that long ago. 10 years out, that's a blink.
Yes, sir.
89, what is that? High school? Is that out of high school?
Straight out of high school. As a matter of fact, I was walking down the hallway and a Navy recruiter was standing there, and I walked up and I said, "What do you have to offer me?" And within 2 months, I was in the delayed entry program, and then the following summer, I was off to boot camp.
Was that it? Was that a thought previous to that, or was it literally, I'm a high school kid and my thoughts aren't any further than, you know, next week?
Like, I had zero plan to join the military.
Right place, right time for the recruiter.
Walking down the hallway and saw him standing there.
How about it? And then, obviously, delayed entry program, you had a little bit of opportunity. I don't know the restrictions or the repercussions of backing out at that point, but, I mean, you clearly had some time before, you know, finishing high school and that sort of stuff. Did the thought ever cross your mind of, like, what did I just do?
No. My grandfather was Navy in World War II. My dad served in Vietnam, and so we have a history of service in our family, but again, it wasn't anything that I ever thought of. My big gig was I wanted to be a cop, but I mean, it just hit me that day, and I asked him and went to the recruiting office with him and signed up.
Well, there it is. And you stuck. And clearly something clicked, because I mean, in 89 through 2010, I mean, that's not a four and done situation.
Oh, no, it was. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. There are times where I, you know, we're like, okay, well, this is going to be my last hitch. But every single time I re-enlisted, it was something different, something new. And, I mean, it was, as they say, it was an adventure.
They do say that. I've seen it on TV before. Hey, so, okay, let's go back to 89. All right, so you finish up high school. You finally have your time. What happens next?
At that point, I was in South Carolina. I got on an airplane and flew to Chicago, to Great Lakes, and went to boot camp. Everything you see about boot camp, now keep in mind, this was back in 89. So before the, what we call kind of like the Kindler Gentler generation, it was everything. It was absolutely real as it could be. And that first wake up call with trash cans, and it was an amazing morning. And so I went through boot camp, and then my first duty station was Miramar, California. I went non-designated to a E2 C2 Hawkeye and squadron out there. And
you know what's when you said Miramar, I mean, I immediately thought about Top Gun. Immediately.
That's exactly, and it was right after Top Gun was filmed out there. So Top Gun is there, and that was my first set of orders, was to that duty station.
Wow. I don't want to take anything away from the next 20 years of your career, but that's pretty cool.
I mean, if nothing else happened, it was pretty decent.
No, okay. I don't want to get derailed too much, but I have an opportunity and I want to ask. I love Top Gun. I love it so much. What we know about Top Gun, what we saw in Top Gun, and I know you didn't go through Top Gun. I understand that. Where were they? Where did they fall in the realistic sort of situation there?
I'm going to let you know right off the bat. Okay, you remember Tom Cruise in his flight suit had that, if you look on his, I believe it was his right chest, he had looked like an eagle in the patch.
Yes.
That he had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the squad. Now, keep in mind, they're flying F-14s. That was an E-2, that was the Firehawks patch. The E-2C-2, the squadron that I was in, which are prop planes.
Okay. I got it.
So it's like they wanted to represent everything that was going on out there. But yeah, I mean, we had the coolest patch on the planet.
Right.
And they actually used that as their squadron patch for Top Gun.
I got it. Well, when you're making a movie, you want everything to be cool.
Yes.
Well, good. Well, hey, so, that's cool. I didn't know that about you.
It was. You're talking about the late 80s, though. It was about as accurate as it could be. I mean, for the time frame and what they could do.
Mm-hmm. So that's where you are. Where does you get transferred out there, and how long do you stay there?
I stayed there for about a year, and then I went to Millington, Tennessee to become an air traffic controller.
Oh, okay.
And so I go through radar and tower control and graduate from there, and then I head to the huge metropolis of Meridian, Mississippi. Another great time. Again, I'm getting ready to do my first reenlistment. And every single time, you know, you get to the end of that hitch, you're just having so much fun. You're like, heck, let's do it again.
Let's take a break and come back and chat more about your non-Top Gun story.
Yes, sir.
More with Navy vet Scott Chasm coming up on our Veterans Day Takeover.
Honoring state line.
Continuing
vets.
Our chat with Navy vet Scott Chasm. So in 95, you finally get to be military police, which was the original path that you were hoping for.
So now you're taking a young, keep in mind, 95. My first duty station as military police was Sudabe Creek, Greece. It's a island in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean.
Oh, I bet that sucked a lot, huh?
The Navy's best kept secret. If anybody wants to join the Navy, join the Navy and ask to go to Sudabe Creek.
Gosh, wow. What was that like?
From what I remember, no, it was a good time. The people are amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. And I couldn't ask for a better tour. Then I came back. When I transferred out of there, I came back to Norfolk, and I went to dog school, became a canine handler.
Wow, cool. And
so certified in patrol, explosive, and narcotics canine handler.
Your resume at this point has to be, they tell you to keep it to one page. I don't think you could ever do that at this point.
No, it was, again, just blessed.
Yes, wow.
Worked for some really cool people. We had a huge kennel. We had 26 dogs at our kennel, had a ton of canine handlers there. Probably the highlight of my career was I got to do explosive detection for the president and vice president.
Whoa. And who is that, Bush at that time?
No, it's Clinton.
Oh,
Clinton.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because it's 96 through 2000.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If they went somewhere, we'd fly ahead part of their advance party.
Got it.
And just, you know, they needed additional dog assets. And so the coolest stuff in the world. I mean, I transferred out of there and went to Diego Garcia in the middle of the Indian Ocean. If you don't ever have to go there, don't.
It's almost like you earned it from your time in Greece.
Right. Now, it's the anti.
Sure.
Greece. It's the polar opposite. But yeah, it was fun. By that time I made first class petty officer while I was there. Had fun, was the kennel supervisor, worked a drug dog over there, and was there for a year and transferred to the USS Enterprise.
You cut out for a second. The USS what?
The USS Enterprise, the aircraft carrier.
Oh, got it. Okay, cool.
So I got stationed on the Enterprise, and the biggest thing about that deployment was we were coming out of the Arabian Gulf, or excuse me, the Persian Gulf, the day of 9/11.
Oh, you told me this. I remember this. Yeah, I remember us talking about this before.
We watched it live on TV. Obviously, everything was going crazy. We, without orders, because we weren't in contact with the Pentagon or anything like that at the time, from what I understand, and we spun the shit, and it sounds funny, spinning a carrier around.
Right, like moving a city.
Yeah, we spun the ship around without orders from anybody. The captain we had was absolutely phenomenal. Just out of instinct, spun it around, and we started heading north towards Pakistan.
Wow.
And that evening, the evening of 9/11, we were sitting off the coast and waiting there for additional orders.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, my thought is when something's happening at home, and I understand the military's larger understanding of worldwide conflict. I get that. But you almost feel like you get torn between wanting to run home or run to where you're needed. And I know that you're on a ship and you don't have a choice, and that's what it is.
We were on the way home. We were going to go down around the Horn of Africa and come back up. We were going to cross the equator. It was going to be a long trip home.
Got it.
We were physically on our way home, and it happened.
And then how much more and how much longer, you know, go ahead.
Oh, we got extended. And to take you back in history, there's one other time that happened. The USS Enterprise, and I'm trying to remember, so don't, please, I want to make sure that I'm right on this, but I believe it was during when Pearl Harbor was bombed, the Enterprise was on its way home again and was extended.
Wow.
And the big thing that you may remember is we were the first ship, like I said, we were the first ship off station over there, as far as I believe, and then I believe it was October 7th, we launched the first strikes.
Yeah, that was the... That was the shock and awe campaign.
It was pretty nasty. I don't remember anybody on the ship saying they wanted to go home. It was about, let's get on station and let's take care of business. I watched the patriotism in our country from the coast of Pakistan, and seeing where we're at today, I know what we can be. Sure. I watched it.
Yeah, we all lived it.
You know, and that's the amazing thing about our country is nothing can really tear us apart unless we let it.
Well, hey, listen, I think we just made a date for Veterans Day Takeover 2021 to finish the other 10 years of your story.
Yes, we got 10 more years to go through.
Well, I look forward to the book someday, Scott. I really appreciate you you spending some time with us here on Veterans Day. I hope you have a good one. I don't honestly, I'm still struggling with how to wish someone a Veterans Day Day. I hope you have a good one, and of course, thank you so much for your service and everything that you continue to do for vets, and honestly, just as a citizen of this great nation of ours.
Well, brother, I appreciate it, and I really appreciate your friendship, and you know, you're just one of those solid dudes that it was easy to make a decision to come on air with you simply because of who you are.
Well, thank you, brother, and I'm going to leave all this in so everybody knows how great I am.
That's right. I mean, you don't want to miss a thing.
A humble brag by my friend Scott. All right, yes, brother. Sir. Be good. Thanks. Say hi to the family, and I wish you best of luck with the hand that you've been dealt, but it sounds like you've definitely been up against worse and come out on the other side just fine.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and I appreciate you.
Honoring State Line Vets this Veterans Day. Powered by Window World of Rockford. State Farm Agent Brian Pinkstaff. LDR Cleaning and Restoration. Eldridge Roofing. Honest Pest Control. Gruner Electric. Paymaster Pawn and Jewelers. Iconic Energy. J&D Countryside Marathon. Woody Buick GMC. Cherry Valley Feed and Supply. Expert Electronics. Gustafson's Furniture and Mattress. And 95.3 The Bull.